Hello.
Hi.
How's everybody doing today?
We're doing good. I was low on energy a little bit earlier ago, but now I'm feeling good. I'm vibing. Are you vibing? I'm vibing.
Bishop in his house. Hey. No, I'm sorry, everybody. Carla was just showing me some funny ass TikToks. And this DJ
doesn't know anything yet.
This DJ
doesn't know what's coming. This
DJ killed his set, so it's fire. But I'm doing good. My energy's up. You know me. I'm a night owl. So when the moon's out, my energy's like, I don't know, at a thousand.
I'm here like.
How to struggle.
My bad. My back.
I'm over here like, yo, what can I get into right now? It's like 11:50. Let's go. What are we doing?
I can't with you. Yo, so welcome, everybody. You are currently listening to WTF Latinx, the podcast where Carla and who is
Josh.
And Josh talk about, like, all culture. What else do we talk about?
We talk about our culture.
All culture, including food, tradition, music.
How you gonna cut me off, though?
Yo, but like you have to end it strong. You know what I want you to end it with. Food, traditions, spiritual stuff, horoscopes, and the most important of all,
chancletazos.
Josh really likes to say that one.
I love.
Did a whole episode on chancletas. If you guys want to listen to
a whole episode on chancletas because. Grandma summoning the ancestral powers to whoop that ass sometimes, and you feel me?
Yo, psychologically proven to make us better people. What can I say?
What a god, bro. You feel me? I see terrified. All the bad behavior just leaves my body. I'm just like, yeah, I gotta change.
Just like escapes, right?
It's almost like, you know what? A chancleta is like a tool for exorcisms.
Wow.
It exercises.
The bad behavior just like exercised from your body.
Yeah, exactly. That bad behavior demon gone, lifted, boom.
But yeah.
Crazy.
Welcome to a podcast of demons and chancletas. For this week's episode of a What the Fuck Latinx episode, our topic is going to be
Pirates of the Caribbean.
What?
What? Wait, is that not the episode?
Let's go again.
Oh, no. Afro Latino music.
You know what? I'm leaving that in. Everyone's going to hear you struggle.
Bam, we just had this conversation. Like,
it really did.
Like,
I told you, I did the homework wrong, so I fixed it and I got something new. Rhythm starts to play. Okay. Yeah, I told you I fixed it. I got some like Afro Latino info.
Whoa. We're gonna discuss this off the pod, Carla. Off the pod.
Oh, me van a me castigo. Okay. Ya me jodí. Yeah. Everybody, yo, no more podcasts. Just kidding.
So we're gonna be talking about Afro Latino music. Which, you know what's funny? When I was looking when I was actually researching this topic, I started to notice that there were certain publications that weren't really too fond of calling it Afro-Latino music.
Interesting.
And it was funny. Well, not even funny, but just the explanation kind of makes sense. I was still trying to wrap my head around it, where it was like, when you listen to the music, a lot of its origins, a lot of the rhythms, a lot of the drum patterns, have African like roots in Africa.
Of course.
And all that happened was that, you know, the Caribbean added its little sauce to it. So yeah. People were trying to figure out the proper term for it, but we gonna call it Afro Latino music.
Gengay. So for Afro Latino music, I hate that you noticed that in publications, because like I definitely feel like I grew up with like traditional Puerto Rican music, and when you really think about it, a lot of our traditional music is always mixed with that like African background. So like special times throughout the year, like Christmas time, is when you would hear the kind of music that has like more of that beat. I'm going to be focusing on Bombay Plena just because I was lazy to like actually get another country. But next time I'll definitely get somewhere else. So Bombay and Plena are specific like percussion driven musical traditional Puerto Rican music that people dance to. And so I've always heard it from when I was a little girl. I never hesitated on knowing where it came from. It came from like our African descendancy, and it's traditional. And it's funny because you can definitely notice the difference between United States and Puerto Rico or like other Latino countries that are just like American culture is very like, if it's not about drugs and guns, like it's not African, like trap or rap. Like they try to wash a couple of like different genres. So it's just interesting how they categorize music.
It's definitely interesting how they categorize music. It's bugged out that you say that they whitewash and try to like dilute it. Yeah, no, it's definitely bugged out that there's like a whitewashing of music like that, just to make it more palatable for like the mainstream.
Yeah, it's always interesting when like if it's not convenient, like specific art, it's not seen as beautiful. And
it's not even that though. I feel like it's more of a business ploy. It's like we can sell more if it sounds like this and not like that. Like that sounds good, but for the people that aren't open-minded enough to understand it, if we make it sound like this, we're going to sell more units. At least that's...
I don't know about that, because I my brain automatically goes to, like, the 50s, 60s, like, Elvis Presley.
Mm-hmm.
And how he started becoming famous because of his voice, and then people found out he was white, and then he just became more famous. So it's just like one of those things. It's like, well, if a black man sings good, it's okay, I guess. But if a white man does it, like, oh, it's like,
it's amazing. It's like the end of the world.
Yeah.
Bro.
I'm watching some New York TikToks, and I still have that stuck in my head.
But nah, it's
but definitely... you still haven't downloaded TikTok, so I don't understand.
Bro, this is about music. Hold on, you got me really, because that Elvis comparison is one that's like, that's used a lot, and it's real shit. Like Elvis didn't really do anything groundbreaking, sadly. Like everything, real talk, everything that man was doing, the way he was dancing, gyrating his hips, it's like James Brown had already been doing that. There's so many other black musicians already doing what he was doing. Vocally, musically, doing similar stuff. So, yes, what Elvis did was cool, but its roots is all in, like, black culture.
It is, and it shows you a lot. And I think being Afro-Latino is one of those topics that's really interesting to me in these times, because we've always had Afro-Latinos, but Latinos have always been forced to identify either as black or white. Like, you can't be both. I don't know why, but, like, oh, your parents are white and black? Like, you can't be both. Sorry. So, Irish, like, biracial children, interracial, whatever. Like, it's always been an identity. I don't want to call it crisis, but struggle, maybe. And like as Latinos, like being Afro-Latino is something that we're starting to see more on popular culture, like more actresses are speaking up on like not receiving roles because they're Afro-Latinas, and just representation in general. And I think it's interesting that's taking this long for us to like acknowledge it.
you feel like it's taken us? Like I feel like we have acknowledged it. We just don't really care sometimes.
No, I don't think we acknowledge it.
You don't think so?
At least not American culture. Ask a white coworker about what they know about Afro-Latinos and let me know what he responds.
Nothing. No, I already know. You're right on that.
Yeah, they don't know. They don't know because they never thought they needed to know. That's why representation is so important in my eyes, is because, like, when you start seeing someone speak up, that's when people suddenly start giving a fuck. And in this era is when we're starting to see a little bit more artists that are, like, speaking up about representation in, like, telenovelas, for example. It's all, like, whitewashed Latina actresses. Like, you don't see, like, Afro-Latinas or movies or, like,
in
different things, you know?
You slowly start to notice it. You're right.
Yeah. It just takes a minute, right? It takes a minute.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Like, until you made that. Put too much like into like really breaking that down.
Yeah.
Oh no. Oh, show you froze.
But yeah, it's kind of crazy. Yeah, we're having again. Next time we need to record in person because I can't with this anymore. It is like recording.
Hold on. All right, are we back?
Yeah, we've been back. Yeah. So, do you want to start or do you want me to start?
I want you to start.
Joshua really stopped and paused, and he's like, You know what
the issue is? I studied way too much stuff, and I, like, dug into way too many different, like, Afro-Latino musics. Mm-hmm. Like, not musics, but into, like, the history of the music. In different genres of it. I feel like I might talk way too much. So I'm gonna let you rock out and then.
Okay, sounds Gucci Gang.
I'll give you what I got.
Sounds Gucci Gang. Okay, so I wanted to talk a little bit more about Bomba en Plena. I feel like if you're not Puerto Rican, you don't know what the fuck that is.
Am I gonna lie? I know a little bit about Bomba. I know nothing about Plena.
They go together.
Bomba y Plena.
They're names of beats more than like a genre.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you remember when we were talking about reggaeton, it was like the dembow was like that beat. Bomba and Plena go together. They're like different beats that go together. That's my best way of explaining it. So they're often mentioned together because they were a single musical style, and they both reflect the African heritage of Puerto Rico. Just like, so I can give credit, I am reading my information from folkways.si.edu. So it's an education site, which I'm very happy about. But yeah. So it's Bomba and Plena are one of those things that, like, I always found so normal, and then I moved to the U.S. and I was like, oh, people don't really, this isn't really a thing. Like, celebrating, like, spiritual, like, Black music is not the norm. Does that make sense? Like, when you think of, like, Santeria music, or, like, that kind of, like, beat, like, just like, wait, that traditional beat and like dancing and like just like very liberal.
But no, yes, I do agree with you.
I lost my stuff. I'm just saying, like, the difference between the music and like how it's not the normal to celebrate African culture. So there's songs called
So you think, hold on, we gotta get it back. My bad. I took that awkward pause.
There are basic distinctions between the rhythms and the instrumentals and the lyrics. So in songs such as Baila Julia Luisa, the drums or barriles are low-pitched and are in a different rhythm, accompanied by panderetas in the plena example, Baila Hasta Los Dos. So some of them are like just drums, and some of them had like güiro and pandereta. If you don't know what I'm saying, they're like different Latino different instruments. So güiro y pandereta, they're like more higher pitch and faster, like more of a like a clack clack sound. And those are some of the main differences, is like different instruments, but they have like the same concept of like just a lot of beats, if that makes sense.
Yes, that does make sense. It's funny, when I was doing my research, I noticed that one of the things that kept coming up was how influential the African drum patterns are, and and also how complex we've like started to develop it, where you'll have a pattern and it'll start off with a certain rhythm, and then you kind of get that, it'll shift. It's like a subtle shift where if you're not even really noticing, you won't even pick up, but you'll have like a subtle rhythm shift, and then it'll be layered over with a few other instruments, and then it'll kind of come back in, and it's beautiful.
Absolutely.
And you know what? To piggyback off of something you said earlier, because the Zoom decided to fucking glitch on me, when you were talking about how Santeria also plays into the music, I've noticed that en mucha canciones, there's a lot of songs that contain like little phrases, almost like code.
Yeah.
Like, they're like greetings, like that Santeros would use, and Santeria greetings. That if you don't understand Santeria, you would never catch it. And a lot of those little words would kind of, they'll go over your head, because it does kind of get lost in the mixture of the music.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. That's always going to be the interesting thing about Afro-Latino music, like from our cultures, is like, these were not only like music and dances for enjoyment. They were utilized as like a form of expressing their religion and their beliefs.
Yes, it was.
Before being enforced Catholic religion. So that's the way that they spoke either to their gods or their spirits, or like how they expressed how they felt. There's even certain parts, like I can't remember specifically, but at one point I was like trying to study the chakra, and they were talking about how certain African tribes have specific dances for you to like clear up your chakra. So like dancing to these beats, and like how certain tones of like drums would affect your different chakras in different ways. So like it's always interesting to remember that this music was more than just partying, like I think like we would think of it. It's a religious expression, and it was utilized to speak with the spirits, to like let go of stress, to communicate and like show each other affection. It was more than just entertainment per se.
You know what? It's funny that you say that, because last night I'm watching a video of Tito Puente.
Mm-hmm.
You know who that is?
Yep. Salsero.
And yeah, it's Salsero, New Yorican. And he's playing in this courtyard in New York.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I noticed when this man's playing the drums is that he looked like he was in this like meditative state, like in un trance como espiritual.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at this man play and I'm like, yo, he's channeling this energy, and this energy is coming from, like, it looked like spiritual energy. He looked like, you know, when you go to church and you have the choir singing and people kind of like.
Yeah, that's a great way to actually to express it, because even like churches here sing to like praise God.
Like when I've been to church, what do we call it? Se le monta el espíritu a la persona, like you can see.
They get the spirit on them. Yeah.
From the point that when he, it was so beautiful, like that energy was radiating. It was just in this beautiful dance, bro.
Technical difficulties.
Bro, these little technical difficulties is getting me hot.
I know, they're gonna drive us insane. But yeah, absolutely. It's, and like the beauty of it as well is that like you don't have to have a structured beat. You just kind of like go with the flow, and whatever comes out.
No, claro. Hell yeah. Hell
but
yeah.
Like people that are listening to it, like if I listen to drums in a specific way in music genre such as salsa, Like, you can't not move to it. Like, you feel it on your soul. It's just, like, a great feeling.
It bugged out because watching that little video clip, like, it gave me goosebumps. I got chills. Like, like, no, high key, though. I'm like, damn, this shit beautiful. This man was just playing the drums, too.
It's freaking insane. Okay. But going back to Bomba. So for Bomba specifically, it dates back to like early European colonial period in Puerto Rico. So approximately from the 17th century. And it was brought by the enslaved Africans, as many of our countries in like Central America, the Caribbean and South America, like a lot of us have that combination. Well, you'll notice like a similarity between like certain like, for example, ranchera music, like Colombia, traditional, like we all have a certain pattern of beats. It just like varies depending on your area. But we all have like that in common.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think of like, I'm trying to remember what like Colombian, oh my God, my brain can't work.
Are you talking about like cumbia music?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, cumbia music, like, you can hear the, like, the speed of it, how fast you have to dance that shit. Yeah.
Yeah, the drum pattern in there kind of keeps you moving.
So, like, obviously, this combination of music was brought by the enslaved Africans to our areas. Bomba music, specifically, was a source of political and spiritual expression. So that's what I mostly, like, connect this type of music with, is, like, whenever I think of, like, African music and, like, Bomba, I think of spiritual expression and, like, talking to the gods or, like, doing rituals, that kind of stuff. The lyrics that they would create would convey a sense of anger and sadness about their conditions. And most of the time, they would utilize those songs to form rebellions and uprisings. So they would use the music to like push and motivate people to like rebel against their masters. Isn't that fucking cool? They literally just like, I just picture like this, you know how everyone's talking about how Gen Z was protesting and stuff like that? Mm-hmm. Just picture like someone putting a song in a boombox and then everyone like just marching right after that. Like,
I was just about to say that it's bugged out how music is kind of like the driving force behind certain political movements, especially like within our culture and like injustice.
Mm-hmm.
It's always a soundtrack. It's like when I think of like people in the 90s, they had you're probably not familiar with like rap groups like Public Enemy, but it had songs like Fight the Power. And it gave off that energy and that hope kind of pushed people. And even now, our generation, like you have rappers like Little Baby, where he has his little, he's like a trap rapper, but he has a song that's like politically charged.
Mm-hmm.
And it does give you that energy and it was bugged out.
Yeah, it's really powerful. It can push someone to like, want to take action towards injustices, which I think is really interesting.
Exactly. There's something about the energy that's transmitted through music.
Mm-hmm.
Our brains think that shit, and we go.
100%. So Bomba specifically was also utilized to dance and celebrate, so it was used as entertainment, but also to, like, express sadness about their conditions as slaves. So just, like, recapping, like, they made sad music about how they felt, but they also made music to celebrate and help create a community and identity. Our identity as Latinos to this day is heavily, heavily influenced in music. And we have a lot of injustices that happen to us and that continue to happen, like kids in cages and all this like political stuff. And we're going to continue to hear about them through music. And we're going to continue to push with that because that's just like, in my opinion, I feel like throughout the years, that's like our coping mechanism as a society. Like when you listen to songs like Rolandito, that's like one of our past episodes, like a kid that disappeared. When you listen to artists like Calle 13, that just talks about the injustices of people that like are starving and hurting. When you hear about music that I'm trying to think of like, just like community, like even like present day, I know Bad Bunny is like highly involved in like Puerto Rican politics and like pushing the youth to vote and remove corruption. And people don't do it by themselves, but when an artist puts it in a song or speaks up, people suddenly listen. It's freaking crazy.
It always depends on what artist, but when you have that artist that understands and knows how to like properly communicate that message through music, it always amplifies it. It amplifies the message and it amplifies the movement.
Absolutely.
And it always, I feel like a lot of the artists that do make those like political type of tunes, especially within our culture, siempre son altita, like they have an ear for stuff like that. So it never sounds corny. Oh. It's always something that you can really vibe with. It's not forced. It's not like, oh, you made that song because you felt like you had to. But it's like, nah, you made that shit because you wanted to.
Because it came from you, yeah. It came from you.
And I can feel that shit in the lyrics. I can feel that shit in the music.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%. And you know what's funny? Like, story time. So growing up, when I was in high school, I ended up going to, like, Las Bellas Artes, which is, like, this music school after high school.
The beautiful arts.
Literally. Because I wanted to learn guitar. And I remember being surrounded by a lot of different kids. Like, they had, like, ballet for, like, little girls and boys. And what else did they have? They had theater, dancing, and instruments. And, like, there's probably something else that I'm missing. And growing up in Puerto Rico specifically, like, there was always music around. Mm-hmm. Like, it isn't, it's something that's so ingrained in the culture that, like, don't be surprised to, like, see your grandparents with a guitar in the living room. I also have a couple of friends, like, from Bolivia and other South American countries, that they're like, yo, our parents just, like, chill in the living room and, like, play the guitar. Or, like, when we do family gatherings, like, we, at some point when everyone's drunk, we all just start singing Selena Quintanilla. Like, the way that we connect through music, like, hasn't really changed that much. Excuse me.
Hold on. We're giving Carla a little break real quick. We're making sure. Carla, you good, girl? You good, girl?
Yeah, I'm good.
No. I just wanted to make sure my co-host didn't, you know, you don't die on the air.
I'm alive. I'm kicking till I die.
So maybe back off what you were saying. It is amazing how music can bring families together like that. And you're right, it really hasn't changed as much. Mm-mm. I feel like living here in the States, though, I haven't been exposed to much of that.
Yeah. Yeah, like, it's not the same here.
And the times I have been exposed to it, it is from older people that come from that older generation where like music was really that escape for them. Like when you live, I feel like when you live in the campo and you're up in like in the mountains in the middle of nowhere, all you have is things like music to kind of keep you entertained.
Yeah.
And anything can really be turned into an instrument. Anything that echoes can be turned into a percussion instrument. So it's like you have people banging on calderos and using old little buckets. And I feel like a lot the times I have experienced it has been from older folk that lived in those, you know, those regions and had like, music was ingrained in them as a way to, you know, like just express themselves.
I just think what I liked about it is like, I never understood. I'm like trying to find the words. Like, it just came so natural that I just, like, took it for granted, if that makes sense. And then as I have grown up, there's a lot of artists that come from Puerto Rico, among other countries. For example, like, random fact, I think, like, Bruno Mars's dad is Puerto Rican. Oh, my God, there's this guy. What's his name? He's on Hamilton. That he's Puerto Rican.
Puerto Rico?
What?
I just said Puerto Rico.
The art actor from Hamilton.
Which one are you talking about?
The only Puerto Rican one.
No, I know. I'm trying to think of his name.
Josh was really like, who are you talking about? I'm like, literally the only one there.
You're talking about the original one, though, right?
No.
You're talking, about the
Hamilton one that made the music for Disney.
You're talking about Hamilton that just came out, the recent one, right?
I guess so. How many are there?
No, because Disney recently did like a remake of Hamilton.
Yeah, but it was with the same actors.
I believe so. Are you talking about what's his name?
You took too long. I'm like, what's his name?
You're talking about Lin-Manuel?
Yes, Lin-Manuel. That's what I'm talking about. Thank you. Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yeah.
Who else? Like, I grew up seeing, like, listening to, like, Daddy Yankee worldwide. I don't know. There was, like, just, like, a lot of artists from Puerto Rico. Everywhere. And I always grew up hearing, like, oh, there's so much talent. There's so much natural talent in the island because people tend to just, like, go towards different forms of art to express themselves. The problem is that we lived in a society where that wasn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, like, being an artist, you either make it or you break, and like,
yeah, and there's a lot of people that try to live out those dreams, but sadly sometimes it just doesn't pan out.
Yeah, so I don't know, I always remember growing up and being like, there's so much talent, because so many people just grow up listening to music, creating music, leaning towards the arts first, like a sense of expression. A lot of graffiti artists, a lot of different types of artists, and it's very accepted, but it's not like a financial option. Like, you can be the best artist there is, like, but if you live there, there's no way you're gonna make money.
No, that's a fact. And I feel like when I look at the history of Puerto Rican artists and musicians, a lot of them had to, like, move to places like New York and join certain bands and join certain people to make a living. But they would never be able to make that living in Puerto Rico. They had to do it in the States.
Yo, and it really shows you, like, when you really think about, like, New York being the center and the starting of a lot of things in a lot of places. Like, pizza, usually people think that it's, like, Italian, but it's created or invented in New York by, like, different cultures. A lot of music, it's, like, invented by different cultures working together in New York. So, like, even though we're different, we're able to still, like, work together and find new ways to express ourselves, which I think is cool.
You know what's beautiful? Also, like I said, I did a lot of research. There was a documentary I was watching, and there's a section of the documentary where they're talking about, like salsa. And the development of salsa, and how when you really sit down and break down what salsa is, you have like the Afro, the African.
Put it on the rice, to put a sazón. I'm just kidding.
No. But you have like there's this jazz undertone in there, a little bit of jazz mixed in with those like African drums, and. Hold on. I got some food, but it was just bugged out to just kind of like listen to how the genre slowly started developing, like generation to generation in New York, and how it kept taking influences from American music, but like blending, changing it up.
That's interesting. That's real interesting.
And I had never really caught that. Like, I'd never really associated jazz music with salsa.
I can see it.
And I go back and listen to it.
Trumpets.
Yes, exactly. The trumpets, the saxophones, and you have all that instrumentation that's used in jazz, but just used differently in salsa.
That's real interesting.
That made me think, I was like, damn.
For Boma specifically, this music evolved through the contact of slave populations from different colonies, regions, and including Dutch colonies such as Cuba, Santo Domingo, and Haiti. And as a result, now there was 16 different rhythms that mark the pace of singing and dancing of bomba, which includes el subidor o primo, which is like the barrel and the drum, maracas, and the cua cua fua, cua or fua.
What does that word mean?
It says it's the two sticks playing against the wood. So it's like ding, ding, bing, bing. Maracas. I'm like, oh, El Viento de Agua exemplifies Gracima in Oyu and Moluta rhythms. And songs such as Mayela, Sire Sire, and Raul Freddy Ayala performed of Juba or Yuba rhythm.
Well,
So, like, just like pausing for a second, this specific like Afro music, it's like a combination of like 16 rhythm, different rhythm of all of like the slaves of like the whole fucking area, which it, like, whoa, I didn't know that.
Bro, no, it makes sense though. It's bugged out because you have all these different tribes and all these different regions of like Africa kind of coming together. And everybody has, yo, when you look at like African instrumentation and the instruments, everybody has their own different instruments. All these instruments and drums have different sounds. So I can already see, like, if you're into music, you're going to hear something from this person, like, oh, eso me gusta, hold up, I'm going to snag that. And then the next person's going to be like, oh, yo, hold up, you doing that way, but I'm gonna give it my own little remix. And it just keeps going like that. It just keeps moving.
For Plena specifically, I know you were just asking about what the differences were. So Plena was developed from Bomba around the beginning of the 20th century in southern Puerto Rico. And so the lyrics for Plena are usually narrative. So they convey a story about events, topics, themes, political protest movements, satirical commentaries. For example, Tito Matos, the leader of Puerto Rican Grupo Viento de Agua, describes Plena as the newspaper of the people. So Plena is utilized more to like really dwell more into the story and the narrative, not just the beat. So Plena has the only one basic rhythm, in contrast to Bomba that has fucking 16. And Plena's instrumentation has changed greatly over the years. But the one indispensable and defining element is the pandereta, which is an instrument, a round hand drum that comes in different sizes. And the smallest of them is the requinto, which improvises over the rhythm. The tracks below are classic example of Plena, and the more information on the drums used in Plena can be demonstrated. Bomba and Plena are defining musical sounds of Afro-Puerto Rican populations. And you go to Black and humble communities and you're going to find Bomba and Plena without a doubt. As mentioned, like, these are genres that are highly celebrated in those like Afro-Latino communities, those Black and humble, like low-income communities. And you're going to... These traditions have enjoyed an active life in New York City. La Bomba y La Plena have been like defining musical sounds from Afro-Puerto Rican populations. And the musical traditions have also enjoyed an active life in New York City. I know that you were just talking about how like the influence of jazz and like salsa. I can definitely see the influence of like trumpets and like the drums and like these kind of instruments in this music as well. Other communities in which Puerto Ricans have settled, pioneers performing such as Los Pleneros de la 21 and Marcial Reyes have succeeded in keeping the styles alive through performing groups and participating in community events. They embrace modern sounds and adhere to traditional styles that maintain a sense of pride and their cultural heritage. So we were just watching a video on YouTube about how Plena and Bomba have suddenly increased in popularity this recent times because these are the types of music that are used for protest and dancing and protesting against like government.
And recently, I know Puerto Rico has been having a lot of, they've been protesting their own government over there.
Absolutely. So I wanted to quickly touch, I'm probably going to do like a 20-second clip of a Plena and then a Bomba.
Okay.
So this is a Plena. This is a blender. Also.
Woo!
And then... So it kind of almost reminds me a little bit of salsa. It's a little bit high-pitched.
But yes, in that regard, in the pitch, but the instrumentation is definitely, like, different, bro.
Yeah. And then, so this is bomba. So it's not high-pitched. So bomba usually is the type that you dance, and like plena is usually the one that tells the story. Just like a little reminder.
No, yeah.
And
it's funny. It's not even funny. It's beautiful because in one of the videos, when the dancer was kind of breaking down that when you're dancing bomba, it's like there's like this conversation that's being had between the drummer and the dancer, and they both kind of feed off each other.
I got really excited. I'm like, whoa, like, I just freaking love that music. So that's Christmas music for me. While you were listening to Mariah Carey, that's what I grew up dancing. So it just, like, it makes me all happy.
It's bugged out how much better your Christmas music is than mine.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the Christmas music that we have here is, like, you sit around, like, a fucking, I don't know, you sit around, like, a fire drinking hot cocoa, relaxing.
Yeah. So I was just making fun of you. Because even though...
casual.
Yeah, so I was just making fun of you behind, like, the scenes, because even though I'm the pale-skinned one, you're definitely the cultured, whitewashed one.
What do you mean? I'm cultured and whitewashed? Well, I'm cultured, yes, for sure.
You are cultured, absolutely. You're a little whitewashed.
I don't know about whitewashed.
We got to bring you back to your roots and like, get you dancing.
So he's, Carla's doing me dirty on the pod. All right, yeah, cat's out the bag. All right, whatever. So maybe I'm not the best dancer.
Well, I mean, either. That's what I'm saying. You and I, we're just gonna go out on the dance floor. We're gonna dance crazy.
Carla, we gotta get back to our roots. Nah, that's real shit though.
Absolutely.
That's like the premise of the podcast. Just us getting back to that.
Yes. Thank you everyone for watching. I hope you guys enjoyed a little bit of like our classic traditional music episode. If you like it, please please follow us, subscribe, follow our podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you listen traditionally to your podcast. Please also follow us on like Twitter, WTF Latinx, and Instagram, which we post more frequently. We hope you guys enjoyed and have a good one.
Yo, take care, everybody. Till the next one.
Bye.